Welcome to session three of our course on surrender. I hope you're having as much fun with this as I am. I'm really enjoying this opportunity to share these teachings with you, and hopefully they can lead us to a place of depth. So far, what we've done is very simple. We've established the fact that you're conscious, you're in there, you're aware, you're a sentient being, and that what you're aware of is a world that comes in through your senses and thoughts that are generated by your mind and emotions that are created within your spiritual heart. We spent a great deal of time, which I again really enjoyed, talking about the world that is coming in through your senses obviously has nothing to do with you. It exists independent of you. If you were not there, it would still be there. And that's what's kind of a neat thing to look at the moment in front of you also. If you're not there experiencing it, believe me, it's still going to go on, just like every other moment behind you and above you and every other place on the earth and throughout the universe. So we've established that it's impersonal. So it should be pretty easy, if we just kept life very simple, to say, I'm in here, I don't know where I came from, but I know I'm conscious. And it's fun to experience things. It's just, that's what happens. Consciousness enjoys experiencing things, having experiences, okay? So I'm gifted with all these experiences. Every single moment of my life, there's an experience taking place. So I guess life's easy for you humans. It's not tough at all. You just gotta be there and the universe unfolds around you. Not the whole universe, just like the whole ocean. You didn't see the whole ocean. You saw a representative of the ocean. The moment that's in front of you is a surrogate, if you will, a proxy for the rest of the universe. It's the part that you get to see. You know how they say the whole ocean can be learned in a drop, right? The whole universe, you learn about it because of the moments that are unfolding in front of you. And you better, because that's the only thing you can get to know, is the moments that are unfolding in front of you. So we've established they're impersonal, but the reality of the fact is, I can say that till I'm blue in the face, but they don't seem that way, do they? It seems pretty personal. It seems pretty interesting that what's happening in front of me has to do with me, and it's personal, and I like it, and I don't like it, and there are ways I want it to be, and there are ways I don't want it to be. I mean, there's really ways I don't want it to be, and there are moments that can unfold in front of me that absolutely freak me out, and there are moments that unfold in front of me that are like the bliss ecstasy. They're Kodak camera moments. You know, there's something to save. They're perfect, all right? Why? Instead of just talking about it and saying it, let's get real about this. Why is it that you are not just experiencing the moments that are unfolding in front of you? The moments are unfolding. You are conscious. And I've already said to you, you're always conscious. It's just a question of what you're conscious of. Why is there all this drama? Why is it so complicated? Why does it seem like I have to fight with the moments that are in front of me? In essence, somebody once said to me, you don't think anything good is going to happen unless I force it to. Well, that's really interesting. Can we take that statement for a moment? Nothing good is going to happen unless I force it to. A lot of people live like that, don't they? Well, what about everything we just talked about in session two? That seemed pretty good to me, that the whole universe made itself and DNA and all that. It's pretty amazing what's taking place. I didn't even mention, we'll just move into mind a little bit here. I talked about your body. Your body's made up of 10 trillion cells. How many of them are you running? Some of those cells know how to make a liver work. Some of those cells work together to make your kidney, your spleen. Every single thing is a living organism. Those cells are made up of the atoms that were created in the stars. You're not doing any of this, even your own body, are you? Okay? So this has nothing to do with you, but it doesn't seem that way. Would you like to take a breath and have a discussion, take a journey of why does it seem so complicated? Why is there so much resistance? Why is there so much intensity? Why does it get confusing in here when the world comes in? I'm going to frame it and we'll spend time with it. Why sometimes when the world comes in, which is just a bunch of atoms, does it make me feel really good? And why sometimes when the world comes in, which is just a bunch of atoms, does it make me feel really bad? And by the way, it does it all at the same time to where it's so confusing, I don't even know which side is up, right? I'm trying to not drown in here. Why? I don't understand. You're conscious. It's not hard to be conscious. Look at the moment in front of you. How hard was it? Nothing. But when it comes in, it causes trouble. It causes things. And then we have disturbance. And then just go a little bit further, right? When we have disturbance, because when the world came in, it created disturbance, we think the solution is to not have the world come in that way. Or when the world comes in and it felt good, we think the solution is to make the world come in that way. And like we talked about it earlier, you're at war. You end up at war with the world in front of you. I need it to be this way. I don't want it to be that way. So basically, the question becomes, where did that come from? Because if it's all just the creation of the stars manifesting before you, I don't understand this confusion. So let's start from the base position. What we're going to do now is build mind. The reason it is disturbing when it comes in is because it stimulates your mind. If it comes in and your mind says, I like that. Oh my God, I like that. Do more. Oh my, this is perfect. This is the nicest thing I ever had. You're feeling really good. If when it comes in, the mind says, no, I don't, I've had things like that. I don't like that. No, get away from me. I don't like that. Ooh, you feel really, really bad. The person next to you seeing the same thing, their mind is saying one thing. Your mind's saying another. Do you understand that? Okay, I can give you an example, and I will, where your mind is saying, no, get away from me. I'm not interested. I don't want this, right? And 5 minutes later, it's saying, oh my God, I love this. This is beautiful. This is perfect. Same mind, same you, same event. How's that happen? Well, there was this person walking towards you, and they looked scary. They looked like your uncle that used to pick on you, and you're not interested, and you're getting all upset, and it's uncomfortable, right? And then all of a sudden, a friend walks by and says, that's Bill Gates. He said he wanted to talk to you. Oh, wow, this is neat. Oh my God, what does he want to talk to me about? One word got into your mind and it changed the entire thing that's going on in there, didn't it? It happens all the time. What in the world is going on? Nobody asks that. All they do is say, how do I fix it? Do you understand that? No one's trying to figure out, why did it do that? Why is my mind doing this? Why am I not just here now, enjoying the moment that's unfolding, and saying thank you, and the next one comes and I say thank you? Why is that not my state of being? I have the right to do that. People say that in a mindful state, that's what's happening. They say that respecting what's unfolding in front of you, gratitude and respect, is the highest spiritual state, right? Do I need to work to get there? Why am I not there? And the reason is because your mind does what I said it did. That when things come in, your mind starts saying something. You don't decide what your mind says. There's not one of you decided what you liked. Your mind tells you what you like, right? My favorite thing is somebody sits down, here, would you like this color or that color? You say, let me think about it. That's pretty funny. In other words, you don't know. You in there, the consciousness, looks at both colors. Well, which do you like? I don't know, right? Right? And so you say, I'm going to think about it. So your mind is going to decide whether you like something or not. I'm telling you, that's all that's going on. Your mind is deciding everything. All right? And because you're in here experiencing your mind, you have the right, the consciousness. I said there's three things you can experience. Which one are you experiencing? And the answer is, that's your choice. Your consciousness is either going to listen to your mind, it's going to pay attention to the world, it's going to feel your emotions, or it's going to do a little bit of all three of those. Your consciousness gets distracted, that's a very key word, your awareness of being becomes distracted by what is coming through your senses, the thoughts created in your mind, and the emotions that generate from your heart. Which one does it distract? Which one is more important? That's the whole thing we're going to talk about. Why your experience of being you is the way it is. Not stop it, you bad person, you shouldn't be like that, right? Not meditate so that you're focusing on something else, not make it spiritual. No, you have no right to do any of that until you understand why it is the way it is. You need a core foundation to understand how it got that way, and then you reverse that process, and it becomes the most natural thing in the whole world. The spiritual process is not a struggle. It's not difficult, and it doesn't take a long time. But it is a real struggle, and it is very difficult, and it will take forever if you're leaving the foundation of why it's the way it is and trying to put something on top of it. And that's what everybody's trying to do, okay? You're just trying to make what's not spiritual look spiritual, okay? So we start our journey. What is mind, all right? First, we know what mind is. We're in here. Mind is a place in which thoughts exist. I have thoughts all the time. Why is he driving like that? Oh my God, I'm late. What are we? These are thoughts. Where do they exist? They don't exist out here. Scientists have not yet been able to read your thoughts. Good thing. I don't want to be around. I hope I'm out of here by then, all right? When they can sit there and hold something and read your thoughts, oh, this is not going to be good. There'll be thought police and all kinds of stuff, all right? They can't do that yet, but you can. So you can do something. There's not a machine that they have made for billions of dollars, even their super collider, right? Can't read your thoughts. You can, can't you? All right? That's pretty neat. I swear, I could just stop here, digest that. There's not a single machine they have created that knows what your thoughts are, yet you effortlessly know. What does that mean? It means your consciousness has a bandwidth that their machines don't. Your consciousness is able to pick up the physical world, but it's also able to pick up the mental world and the emotional world. These are vibration rates in creation. Their machines don't pick them up yet. Someday the machines might pick them up. Like I said, I don't want to be around. Just like the machines didn't pick up x-rays. They didn't pick up gamma rays. They didn't pick up, you know, infrared. They didn't. Then they made machines that did, right? They weren't able to hear higher pitches. They weren't able to see the different spectrums. But they made machines that were able to pick that up. They got subtler and subtler and subtler, being able to pick up subtler vibrations of creation. They didn't say, oh, x-rays are alien because we didn't have them before. They just said we weren't able to read them before. They're there. Your thoughts are there. How many of you know your thoughts are there? What if a scientist tells you, no, they're not. I can't pick them up. They're not there. You'll walk away and laugh. Do you understand that? You know your thoughts are there. You have the ability, you, the same consciousness we've been talking about, have the ability to effortlessly pay attention or not pay attention to the thoughts that are being created at this higher vibration, subtler energy that is called the thought plane or the mental plane. What is the mental plane? What are thoughts? Where do they come from? Why are they the way they are? And why are they mostly negative? And they are. Why most of the time, I don't like it, I'm scared, right? There's a lot more of the time that you don't like something, you're afraid of something, you're concerned about something, than you are infinitely excited, I can't wait for it to happen. Do you understand that? If I asked you to list how many experiences have you had that blissed you out, you wished you could just stay in that state for the rest of your life, maybe five in your entire life, if you're lucky, right? How many experiences have you had that scared you, that you didn't like, that you don't want to happen again? You're in a piece of paper big enough. There's a reason for that. How do you like that? That's what we're going to talk about when we look at mind. The foundation is we need to build mind as it is. So first of all, what is mind? What is mind? I told you, you have the ability. The only one that can know this is you. You have the ability to look at your mind. Okay? You call them my thoughts. They don't say they're me. You say, oh, I had a terrible thought the other day. My thoughts are bothering me. That's you. The consciousness, the sense of being, is describing what it's like to be in there. I have these thoughts, okay? Mind is a level, a field of energy. It's like the quantum field or something. It's a higher field of energy in which thoughts can be created. Mind is not thoughts. Mind is a field of energy in which thoughts are capable of existing. It's time-space. It's like Einstein's time-space continuum, except it's at a higher level. All right? It's called the mind space. Buddhists talk about empty mind. Now we're going to get very deep. That is what we're talking about. It is empty mind. There is nothing in it. There are no thoughts. There's nothing. There's just absolute still mind. It's an arena, and you can go there. That's why meditators understand all of this. You just go into void, into empty mind. You're there, there's no thoughts. It's just completely quiet, completely empty. It's like a computer that if you buy it, let's say they cleaned off the stupid programs that come with it to start with, it doesn't even have an operating system, all right? And we'll give it an operating system. It's a computer, but it doesn't do anything. It has potential. Look how much that computer could do. Right? But it needs more. It needs a programming. It needs different things in it for it to do something. But its brilliance is still there. Okay? I give you this most brilliant cray computer with no programming. All you have is what's called potential. That's what mind is. Empty mind is mind in that state. It's the same as empty computer. Doesn't mean it's stupid. It's brilliant. Its potential is brilliant, but it's not doing anything. It's not creating form. It's not creating anything. So basically, that is what Buddhists mean by empty mind, and that is the starting position. All right, what happens next? The world exists independent of that. The world, we explain where it came from. All right, so now the world is unfolding, and it has created this body for you. What has the world? Right? It's a gift that the stars gave you, okay, and evolution gave you. Well, not Darwin, evolution, okay, he only talked about it. So it now comes in and it passes through your senses and it comes into mind. Makes me cry. That's what's happening. Just like a projector, a camera projects onto a screen, the world comes in, you would not see it unless it came in. You're up here, you're way back here. You're not there, all right? And the world is happening everywhere, even though you're not there, but there's part of it that light is bouncing off of and stimulating your optical sensors. And same with your auditory, etc. So it's now being sent back to where? To mind. And that's the truth. I say, meditator sees this in slow motion. You can watch it happening every moment of your life. It comes back in and it comes to mind, and mind formulates a form that matches what came in. It actually de-encrypts it. Those of you who know anything about computers, right? What happens with digital stuff now, right, is there's analog, meaning the real world is out here with vibrations, electromagnetic spectrum. It comes in, you turn it into digital numbers, and then you pass them through the wires, and then it has a renderer that takes that digital thing and paints the picture based on those numbers. That's really what's happening with your body. It doesn't digitize it. It turns it into nerve impulses, electrical impulses. They come through. Electrical impulses are so sophisticated that they take this entire scene that's in front of you, color, distance, everything, send it back through the nerve wires, and then it renders in your mind. So your mind one of the functions of your mind is a flat screen TV. All right, and it just renders there. It's neat. You don't need a TV. You don't need a screen. It just renders inside. That's what's happening. That is the primary function of your mind, the place that is the receiver, the renderer, just like a computer rendering screen, the renderer of what is going on outside. So to the extent that it comes in, you now have the ability to experience what is coming in through your senses. Just slow down, quiet, and realize that's what's happening. That mind is your gift. It's an amazing thing. It's more brilliant than the most brilliant computer. I call mind the first personal computer. It's not true that Jobs made the first personal computer or Radio Shack or anybody like that, right? They were emulating what your mind does. Your mind is the most personal of all personal computers. And so you have this computer screen in there, flat screen, and it comes in and renders there and you see it. Fine, all right? What's wrong with that? Nothing. It's beautiful, I told you. Experience is a gift to the soul. It's the food of the soul, all right? I mean here, I'm capable of experiencing, so I want to have experiences. If you want to get spiritual on me, which I don't always like to do, right? It is taught in the Upanishads, in the great deep scriptures, that what is happening is God created the heavens and earth because he wanted to experience himself. And he created all of form, he or she created all of form, and the consciousness is God looking at himself, is looking at creation. So this is how it happens. This is how it works. Is form is out there. You saw how it got created. It, just like your dreams get created in your mind. It got created with a big bang. Now it's coming in. And the ultimate purpose of all of creation is that consciousness experience form. That consciousness experience this tremendous expression that got created all over the place. So that is literally God experiencing God. That's what they teach you. I hope it makes some sense to you now, all right? Your consciousness, this magic thing called consciousness, is now able to experience form because it came in. That's all part of creation. To the extent that that is happening, you are now here now. There is only one thing that is going on in your consciousness is you are experiencing what you were meant to experience. The gift of the moment that's being given to you. I could go now for an entire 10-hour lecture on be here now, all right? And on the power, well, power of now and that sort of thing. Is it comes in and you learn from it. It comes into you like the sunset. You've touched moments like this. You have had moments like this. It doesn't take a meditator, right? You turn the corner, you're driving around, and all of a sudden, the sun is setting, and there's purples, and oh my God, the magenta is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, and it takes your breath away, and you say, it blew my mind. What does that mean? It means there was nothing left in my mind. Nothing, not the mortgage, not the problem with the boyfriend, not, you know, my toe hurts, right? There's nothing. The only experience I'm having is that this gorgeous thing has come in through my eyes. It is rendered in my mind, and I am one with it. I am completely focused on that. All of my consciousness is centered and focused on the experience I'm having, okay? You don't need to think about it. If you think about it, you miss it. Right? Because to think about it is to create something other than it. All right? You don't need a camera to capture it. If you take a camera to capture it, you miss it. Right? In the name of saving it for later, you miss it now. If it comes in and touches your soul, that's what you say. You say, you literally say later, oh my God, you have no idea. I can't explain it. It was like a spiritual experience. I don't even want to talk about it. It was a spiritual experience. That is a spiritual experience. You are spirit. You are consciousness. Because you're not scattered all over the place, you're completely focused on the fact that the experience that life is giving you is the experience you are having. You have become one with it. That's when Patanjali Yoga Sutra starts to talk about the experiencer and the experience become one. You have merged, you have allowed a merger that there's nothing else distracting your consciousness other than what is happening right there. And so it feeds you, and you will never, you don't have to remember it. You will never forget the experience you had. That's different than remembering exactly color or all that. You had a real experience. It came all the way in and fed your soul. The way I've come to see it is that rivers all over the earth, rivers flow into the ocean. They become the ocean. You can't find which water came from which river. You can't find out where the river stops and the river ocean starts. Do you understand that? It becomes a merger. That's yoga. Yoga, the word for yoga means merger, union. The rivers union, they merge with the ocean. This event that came from creation, right? We talked about where it came from, what an awesome thing, has just given you darshan. It has just come in through your senses and said, here's a gift, experience me. And it touched your soul. That's what it means when it says it touched the core of my being. It did. It touched you. We did that in the first session, right? It touched your consciousness. Nothing was in the way. You've had other experiences like that, sometimes in intimate moments, beautiful intimate moments, when everything's right and it's the right person and the candlelight and blah, 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 right? You lose yourself in the moment. Just all of a sudden, there's this beauty coming in and you are experiencing it. It's not that it's not coming in through your mind. It all comes in through your mind. All the nerve senses, everything, not just visual, right? Everything comes in and renders in your mind. You experience it in your mind. That doesn't mean get out of your mind, okay? Your mind at its primary core has the function of delivering the experience of physical creation to you because you're not physical. You're way back in here and you're conscious. And the mind is in between. Its vibration is lower than yours, but it is higher than the physical plane. So it comes in and you experience it. If you went through life that way, that is what is meant by the garden. Go read it. That is where Adam and Eve were. They didn't have to do anything. Everything was just there. They were in a state of absolute joy, fulfillment, totality. There was just the beauty. There's beauty all around you. There's trees, there's sky, there's rain, there's storms, there's people. Oh my God, there's armadillos. There's just beauty everywhere, right? But we don't see it. Why? Because we have other things going on in our mind other than the primary function, which is that it is to receive the world and you get to experience it. So that's God walking in his garden, right? You are, if you let that happen. It's coming back and you're experiencing it. And you'll find that everything has its beauty. Everything is different. You get to have different experiences. But we don't live like that. Why? What went wrong? What's the fall from the garden? It's very simple. The world comes in. I said it's all beautiful. I said it's all awesome. And I said the experience of it is very moving when it comes back. It doesn't mean it all feels the same. Heat feels different than cold. It is different. It comes in. It doesn't mean one's better than the other, right? But they feel different. Somebody strokes you very nicely. It feels different than if they slap you. Different things come in a different way. Why? Because they're different. Buddhists say everything has its nature. So we're talking about, all right? A rattlesnake coiled up and rattling, when it comes in, even if you're just right here now, nothing else, experience is very different than a butterfly landing on your arm, right or wrong. You don't need to judge it. A child has a baby has the same experience, all right? That rattlesnake is giving off its nature. It's giving off its vibration. It's beautiful. It's awesome, right? But it doesn't feel the same as the butterfly. There's nothing wrong with this. That's real. You understand that? So it comes in and you have this experience. What's wrong with having experiences, right? You don't want every moment for a butterfly to land on you. It'll be so normal to you, it'll be nothing. So God knew how to create something that would be a lot of fun for you. All right, the garden isn't just butterflies landing on you. Here's butterflies and roses all the time. Boring, okay? And you're not learning anything either. You're not growing, right? The consciousness can expand because of the knowledge that comes into it. The ocean becomes greater because of the rivers that flow into it, becomes replenished. So you are actually learning and growing. The truth is, I have just defined true spiritual growth for you and the evolution of the soul. Every single thing that comes in makes you greater. Do you understand that? If you've never seen a rattlesnake, you are not as great as someone who has. If you've never felt a butterfly land on your arm, you are not as great as someone who has. There are other things you're greater about, but every single experience makes you wholer, doesn't it? Can you see that? Just like everything you learn makes you smarter, right? Every experience you have makes you a veteran of the foreign wars of that experience, right? You've been through that. I've had that experience. I know about it. Therefore, every experience is feeding you. Every experience is helping you evolve. Every experience is making you richer and wholer and better, okay? So when the rattlesnake comes in, yes, it's not as comfortable an experience. It doesn't feel the same, but it is just as rich. It is just as important. All right, so if we're willing to do this, we're still in the garden. I got no problems, all right? No matter what happens, it's feeding me. It's feeding my soul, it's feeding my head. As I'm becoming richer and greater. But that's not what happens. The fall from the garden is as follows. Something comes in, we'll start with the rattlesnake, and it's not comfortable. It's vibration. You're not judging, you're not thinking about it. It's just a vibration, it's nature. It's a little like that. Right? If you let it go, it will come in and teach you. You'll learn how to be comfortable with that vibration. It's a vibration in creation. You have no right to not be okay with creation. You're just here experiencing creation. All right? It comes in and it passes. Everything comes and goes. Buddhists say everything's transient. That rattlesnake's not going to stay there your whole life, rattling. Right? It's going to come, it's going to crawl away. There's going to be something else happening. Fine. You became richer. But that's not what you do. You were given free will. What does that mean? You were given free will, and you know you were. You know that you in there, you, I'm talking now about the consciousness. We haven't built anything in mind. Now, I can blame it on mind, right? Mind is now just the flat screen field, all right? But you in there that is experiencing what's rendering in your mind, don't feel comfortable about it. And you have the ability of resisting. It's just an ability you have. You have hands in there, don't you? Can you push something away in there, right? If something doesn't feel right in there, can you push an emotion away? Can you push a thought away? Ever done it? Ever push it away? That's will. That is consciousness. What you actually do is it. Again, if you go deep in meditation, you'll watch it happen every moment of your life. You're clear. It's clear. And all of a sudden, you pay more attention to it than something else. You either liked it or you didn't like it. It's the core of like and not like. Right? It either felt comfortable or didn't, primal level. And it, either way, it drew your consciousness to focus on it. Do you understand that? It's not even. You're no longer even. It focused it. Because you put your consciousness on it, you've actually asserted a force. Your consciousness is a force. And when you concentrate, you know your concentration is a force. You can feel it, can't you? If you're really concentrating, you can feel somebody else concentrating on you, can't you? All right? That's none of the fundamental forces. That's another one they don't know about. All right? That's very spiritual, this power of will. You understand that? All right? You have focused your consciousness on this rattlesnake. Because you focused it on it, you didn't want to experience it. You focused on it as a sense of resistance. That's the birth of resistance. You actually wanted to hold it a distance from you. It wasn't comfortable as it came in. Heck if I'm letting it all the way in. You know what I mean by all the way in? I hope maybe you let your husband all the way in. I doubt it, right? Did you ever let anything all the way in? No resistance, nothing, just completely letting the river flow into the ocean. Most people have rarely done that. But those are the moments that like you call, those are the special moments of life where something touched you to the core of your being, right? Heck if there's rattlesnakes going in there. And you don't have to think that, right? It is just an innate, natural, I've not experienced this yet, and it's not comfortable, I want it at a distance. Make sense? Ever done it? Ever kept something at a distance in there? Okay, doesn't mean it's not happening out there, and it's already in here, right? I can't stop from being out there, but I don't have to let it all the way in. I don't have to fully, we used to call it gestalt. You just let the whole thing in, grok the whole thing, and it just merges with you. You don't just think I don't want it to. It's just an act of will. It's an act of resistance, all right? So now you have pushed away the rattlesnake. Here comes the butterfly, okay? Lands. Oh, whew, whew. It's just beautiful. It's so beautiful. You don't have to think it, right? It's in there. It starts to take off. No. I like it. So you do what the Buddhists call cling. You use your will to hold on to it. Well, I can't hold on to the butterfly. It flew away. I'll hold on to the experience of the butterfly. I'm literally telling you, when it renders in your mind, it makes something. It makes a thought pattern. That's what that is. I can hold on to that. I can hold on to what it was like to feel the butterfly. I can push away what it was like to experience the rattlesnake. Neither of those finished their journey through the universe. Neither of those came in and fed my soul fully because I didn't want them. I didn't want it to go away or I didn't want it to come in. So either clinging or resisting keeps the rendering in your mind. That is the most important thing you will ever learn. Do you understand that? It was meant to be a clear plasma screen, an LED screen, right? What's happening is what I see. I've now held on to an image that's no longer being generated from the source, from the outside world, right? It now is stuck in my mind. You have no idea how big that is. That is the original sin. That is the fall from the garden. What do they say we weren't supposed to eat? From the tree of good and evil, from the tree of right and wrong, from the tree of self-knowledge. I swear to you, I don't need to tie it back to the Bible, but it's amazing, right? I thought self-knowledge is a good thing, not like that. In other words, I want to hold on to, make it personal. None of it's personal, I already told you that. There's rattlesnakes, there's butterflies. But now there's rattlesnakes and butterflies. You have held that inside of you, all right? Why is that so powerful? Watch. Oh, it's so powerful. I'm the consciousness. A moment ago, I had a model where the only thing there was that could pull my consciousness to it, distract me, if I will, from my seat of self, which we haven't talked a whole lot about yet, but we're going to, okay? I'm settled back. What are you aware of? That I'm aware. That's what I'm aware of. I'm aware that I'm aware. How did Moses say it? God said it to Moses, I am that I am. It's called the I am. Okay? I'm just here. You remember when Moses was talking to the burning bush and he was supposed to go into Egypt. And God said, go tell the Pharaoh to let the people go. He said, in whose name? They got lots of gods. What name should I say? Who sent me? He said, I am that I am. A spiritual being, you get chills up your spine at that. That's what you are. You are that you are. I am that I am that I am. I know that I am. There's nothing else to say. I am the one that knows that I am. Okay? Well, why can't you stay there? Why can't you be you? All right? Because things draw me away from me. Things draw my consciousness toward them. So the first thing that draws your consciousness toward it, not a bad thing, is that this rendering of the outside world comes in and you pay attention to it. All right? If you're in the garden and you have nothing going with it, you're not for or against it, it comes and it goes and it's like a movie. It's very entertaining. But you still remain seated in the joy of the seat of self. We're going to talk later about what is it like to be seated in the seat of self, to be established in the seat of self, because it happens to be ecstatic. It happens to be the most beautiful experience you'll ever have. But we're drawn away from that because our consciousness becomes distracted by objects. So the first object, we kept it very simple, is that mind, the lower primal mind, is rendering what is coming in through the senses. It's not a problem. It's an experience. It's awesome. But now you decided to hold on to one form and resist another, in which case they both stayed in there. Well, why is that a problem? Next thing that happens is the rattlesnake goes away and you're walking down the road and there's a rope. Oh, the rope doesn't feel the same as it would have felt 10 minutes ago, does it? Come on, this is very important, okay? The rope reminds you of the rattlesnake. What does that mean? It's not a rattlesnake, it's a rope. But when it comes in, your consciousness now has two choices. Do I pay attention completely to the rope that came in, or do I pay attention to this rattlesnake image that I held because I was resisting it? They will join. The mind will immediately pull those together, and the rope will stimulate the image of the rattlesnake, and you will get scared. Do you understand that? On the other side, the butterfly flew away. Oh, I like the butterfly. You're still looking at it. You're still feeling. You're trying to hold on to it, right? Now the world is coming in. You're looking at it. You're not any longer seeing it. You're looking for a butterfly. That is a totally different thing. It used to be what was there just came in. You understand that? Now you have a preference. You have, because you like looking at the image of the butterfly, right? When you look outside, you are trying to see that image again of your boyfriend, of your girlfriend, of your house, of your butterfly, whatever it is, because you now, you used to be, there wasn't anything else to think about. There was nothing there. There was just the experience of here and now. Now there's the experience of there then. I wasn't kidding when I said be here, be there then, right? That's what those images in your mind represent. Something that happened before that I kept in my mind. Now, if you don't get it yet, I'll do it this way. Many of you have flat screen TVs. It used to be the plasma screens had what they call after images. I don't know if you know about it, you may be too young. But when they started selling them to start with, they said, be careful. If you leave an image on hold, pause, it will actually burn into the plasma screen. And then when the next thing shows, it'll still be there. How would you like to watch TV like that? How would you like to watch TV that you finish the news and you turn on a movie and the last after image of the newscaster is still on top of your movie? That's the butterfly. That's the rattlesnake. You now can no longer see what is going on because you have this other image that's on the screen. I want you to see pure mind as a screen. Well, you just messed up your screen, didn't you? You didn't mean to. You thought it was innocent. I just pushed that away. Where do you think it went? There was an energy in the universe that was created by God, by everything. It's coming through, passing through you so that you can experience it. It's a special moment for you. All right, it's coming in, but you didn't want to experience it. So you pushed it away. It stays in mind. Now what we're doing is building personal mind. I started with empty mind, impersonal. Okay, now you have chosen what is going to fill your personal mind. It's just like a program that you put into a computer that didn't have any. Now you have the program of don't like rattlesnake, do like butterfly. Don't want to see rattlesnake, do want to see butterfly. And it will stay there. Therefore, it will distract your consciousness toward that. Now, if I asked you, how many of those do you have? You know, there's a lot of stars in the sky. You have more. You've done it with everything your whole life. You hear me? And they build on each other. They like multiply like maggots. Now that I have rattlesnake in there and I saw rope, the rope is innocent, but it hit rattlesnake. Really? No, not really, just in my mind. Therefore, it re-stimulated the discomfortable feeling Therefore, I don't like ropes as much. Therefore, I'm never going to walk this way anymore. Oh my God, it's running my life. Do you see that? That impression that stayed in mind in yoga is called a samskara. They talked about them in the Upanishads. They talked about them thousands of years ago. Why? Because they were meditators. The rishis wrote that stuff, and they were deep meditators. And they saw this. This is not something science taught you. You teach them. You understand that? You're the one who sees this going on. You don't need somebody telling you, do you? Right? And like I said, they can't see it. They only see it because you told them. Right? Freud sat there and listened to you. And in essence said, you talk, I'll listen. And I'll try to figure out what's going on in there. You know what's going on in there. You're the one who's in there telling them. Okay? So you are the ultimate experiencer of your mind. Nobody will ever teach you about mind more than what you already know. You're just not paying attention. You're getting so uptight about wanting butterfly and not wanting rattlesnake that you're not getting your distance, your perspective, a proper, what did Krishnamurti call it? Objective observation. You can't do that. You can't observe objectively because what's happening out there is hitting your stuff. Believe it or not, rattlesnake, butterfly are now your stuff. I've left this model on just two things in your psyche. That's your psyche. What do you mean? What's your psyche? Something you built inside of mind that's about you. I'm the one that doesn't like rattlesnakes. I'm the one that likes butterflies. You just built a self-concept, right? I don't have that one. I have it about thunderstorms and dogs or something else, or kittens, okay? And everyone had different experiences. Therefore, everyone is building a different thing inside. They're not doing it purposely. They should have taught you this in kindergarten so you learn not to do it, all right? It is intuitive. It happens naturally because you're not used to experiencing these different things. Therefore, they stimulate you different ways. They're supposed to, but you're supposed to be comfortable with that. But I'm not comfortable with it. That's because you're not evolved enough. There's physical evolution and there's spiritual evolution, right? You say, let's jump ahead. You say, I want to know God. Liar. You're a liar. You do not want to know God. Why? Because God is everything. The rattlesnake, the butterfly leaving, the butterfly coming, death, birth, disease. God's everything. There's nothing in creation but God. Do you understand that? You really want to experience all of that? No. Okay, then you don't want to experience God, right? What you mean by God, right, is I have these things that I built inside of me that have now become like and dislike because I stored them inside. There's no like or dislike. There's just experiences. But I pushed one away and clung to the other. And what God means to me is the person, the force that will give me what I like and keep away from me what I don't like. I talk to him all the time. Please, God, please. Okay? And I call that God of the mind. That ain't God of reality. Okay? God of reality is everything. So the soul has to evolve. You have to evolve enough to where you are willing to let him in. Who? God. Period. Those are the teachings, aren't they? You know who taught this? Christ, Buddha, period. All right? Christ said God is everything. He's everywhere. There's no place it isn't. And Lao Tzu taught the same thing. And the Quran teaches the same thing. And the ancient Hindu and Hebrew scriptures, the Kabbalah, all teach the exact same thing, right? It is all God. That is what it is. And we've seen that. We've seen it's all created from the same force. It comes in. The consciousness is not used to that vibration. The whole of spiritual growth is getting used to that vibration, is becoming comfortable with the different nature of things that come in. When you are completely comfortable with the nature of things, you will not hold them. The Gita says, to him to whom the rock, the dung, the clod of earth, the Brahman, and the chunk of gold all appear the same. They're obviously not the same. They're made of different elements. But when they come into you, they all pass through, right? They all pass right through, right? The third Zen patriarch, that great, beautiful writing on faith mind that starts, the great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. Very, very deep. He has a line in it that says, when a thing can no longer offend you, it ceases to exist in the old way. That's very deep Zen, right? When a thing can no longer offend you, it ceases to exist in the old way. What does that mean, offend you? A thing came in. It hits your stuff. it caused rattlesnake and butterfly to get stimulated, so you wanted it or you didn't want it. It offended you. It wasn't the same as the white lines on the road. It wasn't the same as the trees you drove by. It had a power over you, didn't it? It has no power. It's all the same, like the Gita said, right? The gold and the kankudama, the same thing. They're atoms that were created in the stars. But when they come into you, they hit your past. They hit your stuff. They hit what you stored in there. Therefore, it offends you. You understand that? Not offend you negative, offend you positive, doesn't matter. It causes a change in your being. When it can no longer offend you, it ceases to exist in the old way. The old way is personal. The old way is like and dislike. The old way is I need to do something about it. When it ceases to exist in the old way, it is what it is. Everything is what it is. It's very deep. You hear me? We're talking deep teachings here, all right? Everything. It's not about getting what you want. It's about understanding that want is way oversold, all right? There's a serious problem with want. It's a sickness, okay? So basically, when things come in, they are meant to be experienced by you. If you have trouble experiencing them, that's the whole purpose of this course. Surrender. Now you understand surrender. That's your first taste of true surrender. What right do you have to either cling or resist reality? I don't even understand, right? Do you like the fact that Saturn has rings? Your answer is none of my business. That's right. You understand? So the fact that reality that's unfolding in front of you that took 13.8 billion years to get there is not okay with you, that's pretty funny, all right? And the question is, why is it not okay with you? Because I can't digest it. It was hard, right? Well, then learn. Learn. You learn to play tennis. You learn to play the piano. You learned all kinds of things, didn't you? You learned calculus. You learned to run the camera. You learned all kinds of things. You didn't know how to do it to start with, did you? It was uncomfortable to start with. You didn't know how to do it, right? Sit down and try to play Beethoven on a piano when you don't play the piano. It's very uncomfortable what happens. Right? Start playing scales and make them get them all wrong. Very uncomfortable. But you learn. The soul can learn. It's not the mind that's learning. Ultimately, it's your learning. You in there, the consciousness, learns to experience reality. All right? In order to do so, you have to not resist. Otherwise, you're going to push it away. That's what surrender is. The non-resistance. It's not renunciation. I didn't renounce a single thing, did I? In fact, I embraced it. Right? I embrace the reality that's there. I did not renounce it. I didn't walk away from it. All right? So what I let go of is, I didn't even let go of the resistance. I let go of the resistance to the resistance. I am willing to learn. If it is not comfortable, of course it's not. I haven't learned yet. So you learn to let it come in. Same thing with the butterfly. Somebody comes up and says, you know, I really love you. And very attractive to me and so on, but I need to go to Europe for a few years, maybe I'll call you again. That was so nice and there's not going to be that. What are you doing? You just had a beautiful experience and you ruined it. You ruined it by holding on to it like the butterfly. Now every time the phone rings, and you get all disappointed. Right? You're doing that. You did that. Somebody said something nice to you. You can't handle it. It offended you. You understand that? And is it not true that now for 2 years with the phone ring, maybe it's him, maybe it's her, okay? Oh, it's not. All of a sudden you made this mess inside yourself. Instead of enjoying and experiencing, are you able to handle that somebody walks up to you and says, oh my God, I've never told you, but I worship the ground you walk on. To me, you walk on water. You're the most beautiful person I've ever met. I dream of you day and night and so on. I got to go now. Okay with you? No. Well, make it be okay with you. Why? Because it is a gift that took 13.8 billion years of everything being exactly the way it was to end up in front of you. Maybe the person didn't meet you. Maybe their mother yelled at them so they didn't like what your glasses looked like. Do you understand that? It took everything for that moment to happen, and you can't handle it, can you? Honest. See, you can't handle good moments or bad moments. You want to cling to the good ones, and you want to push away the bad ones. You define them as good or bad. They're just, that was a beautiful vibration, somebody saying such nice things to you. It helped you feel the beauty inside yourself, right? Surrender to it. Yes, thank you. Yes, next moment, please. Right? Digest it. Permit it to come in and pass through, right? All I need for the moment that's happening is what I'm getting from the moment that's happening. The experience itself is everything. You grow from the experience. You become greater. But if you resist it, it stays in mind. You've now created another place in mind, a layer of mind that's holding your samskaras, your patterns from the past that didn't fit through. And if it's real positive, you're clinging. So this clinging and resisting are everything. If you're dealing with spirituality and you're not dealing with clearing and clinging, clinging and resisting, you're not dealing with spirituality. You understand that? If you're in there saying spirituality is learning the power of attraction so that I can attract to myself what I want and resist things that I don't want, you just bastardize the entire process. That is the opposite direction of anywhere you want to go. That is basically saying, I have bought into this garbage that I built inside of me. I'm totally distracted by it. In fact, I've defined myself as a person who likes this and doesn't like this. And now what I'm going to do with my spiritual practices is get what I want and resist what I don't want. Well, then you're not going anywhere. You understand that? So, sorry, right? If you want to talk truth, we can talk truth. But that's why surrender is the deepest path. I told you, the great ones say, when it's said and done, surrender is the highest path. It's the only path, because it is the path of saying, I'm not going to buy into this garbage that I built inside my mind. I want to experience who I am. You're not going to experience who you are, who's back there looking, if you're all messed up about what you're looking at, and you built this whole thing inside. So even resisting or clinging to one thing, it's over. Right? In fact, I swear to God, just one thing. The only thing I experienced I really didn't like was rattlesnakes. Everything else is fine with me, but I don't like rattlesnakes. Your whole life will be around rattlesnakes. Do you understand that? You will not be able to go into the reptile part of the museum. You don't want to be around anyone that has snake skins. Your whole life will be focused around the thing you're afraid of. Do you doubt that? You've done it, right? You have an ex-husband. I don't want to see him. I don't want to talk about it again. I don't want anybody named Ben. No. Yes or no? It becomes your whole life. What does? Not your ex-husband. He's not there anymore. That's why he's called the ex-husband. All right? You say you divorced him. No, you didn't. He's still inside. You're still having the conversations. You still held on to every single thing that ever bothered you. Do you understand that? You still don't want to go to a party if he's going to be there 5 years later. Okay? It's like, wow, you have kept this impression in your mind. And ultimately, you have created an alternate universe inside your mind built out of the impressions you stored that you either liked or didn't like. Things that you're neutral about pass right through. The white lines that are dotted on the road, you can't tell me about them. You've driven by lots of them. All right, you drive by lots of cars when you're driving down the road. You can't tell me about every one of them because you're neutral about them. They come in, they pass through. But there are these things that are harder to deal with inside. And therefore, you resist them or you cling to them. And they stay inside of you. And they begin to build what we call your psyche. So your psyche is, in essence, a program, right? Just like you can use a computer to run marketing, use it to run, you know, cooking, whatever it is, right? It's just a program called me, right? Like Oprah has the O channel, you have the I channel, okay? You just built a channel in there that talks about you. Do you have one? Do you have a channel in there that at all times is reminding you about things that happened before, what you wish would happen, what you wish wouldn't happen? This is uncomfortable. I can't believe she didn't talk to me this morning. Why didn't she call? That's not happening, right? Somebody, you said hello to somebody when they were walking by. Hey, Sally. And they walked by. Didn't acknowledge you. Okay? That happened 6 hours ago. No, it's still happening inside of you. Why? Did she not hear me? I don't know. What did I ever do? This is ridiculous. Should I ask? But Paul will find out. No, I don't want to get into. What are you doing? That's not reality. Reality is what's coming in from the outside. You've now created an alternate reality inside your head, didn't you? All right? And it is so complex, this point. You did quite a job, didn't you? Some people say, I'm not good at things. You're really good at this, all right? You built this tremendous menagerie of stored stuff in there, of moments that you are not able to let go of. And it isn't just the primary moment. It doesn't need a rattlesnake. The fact that the rattlesnake or something else got stored in there, other things will remind you of it. In fact, you'll remind you of it. You're just driving on the street, mind your own business, and all of a sudden you remember how scary that rattlesnake was. All of a sudden you're scared. You're not even dealing with reality anymore. You have such a mess built up in there. It's amazing what we have done. All right. That becomes what we call the personal mind. Once in your life, understand it's not you. No more than your TV screen is you. You can watch the TV. Of course, there's things on the TV screen. Hopefully, they're not superimposed. Yours are. Yeah, layer upon layer upon layer. You can't primarily see things, right? Because what they do when they come in, they stimulate your past stuff. And then that becomes rendered in your mind while the image that was supposed to be primary is there. You can't even tell which is which. If it gets really far out, we don't let you play with the other boys and girls. We put you in an institution. You're having hallucinations. What does that mean? What's an hallucination? My mind is creating something, and I honestly believe that's what's out there. Because the truth of the matter is, you understand, you're looking at it all inside. You're not looking at the outside outside. When it's all said and done, it's in there, the same place. Does everybody understand that? It is coming in, rendering in your mind, and the stuff your mind is creating based on these samskaras, these past patterns, is in the exact same place. All right? Have you ever talked to somebody, right, and decided they're mad at you, and while they're talking, oh my God, I can see it. I look how their mouth is. Look at their body language, right? The person loves you. They're not doing anything. But that's what you're seeing. You're doing that because mommy used to talk to you that way or because this used to happen. I have all of psychology backing me up, folks. Do you understand that? All psychology is doing, traditional psychology, is studying that mess you built inside of you. Why does it say, what's a Rorschach test? I'm holding up ink blots. You're seeing people making love. You're seeing mommy and daddy fighting. You're seeing the house you used to like you never got. Do you understand that? In other words, that Rorschach test is stimulating the garbage that you stored inside your head to force the mind to render what's not there. Yes or no? The whole world is a Rorschach test. It's exactly what's happening. It's just unfolding in front of you. It's a bunch of atoms. It's a bunch of creation that came here to visit you, and you ain't seeing it. It's hitting your stuff, and it's stimulating what I like, what I don't like, what I believe in, what I agree with, what blah, 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 blah. Correct? Until that's all there is. Until that part of your mind, the personal mind, has taken over your entire life. You are no longer enjoying the experience of what is happening. You are thinking, again, we'll go to the next layer. What is happening is stimulating your past. How's that? It's stimulating the samskaras you stored inside. Okay, so that's not comfortable. Why is it not comfortable? Because you stored a lot of stuff in there, right? I told you before, why is it mostly negative? If I don't like rattlesnakes and I have a bad vibration, then everything I see might remind me of the rattlesnake. It tends to. The rope on the tree, this over here, somebody saying snake, all right? Cake. You thought he said snake. I'm serious. Oh, right or wrong, the heart will jump. The first reaction will take place based on the stuff you have in there because it's a Rorschach test. It stimulates what's in there. So that's negative, okay? But you held on to some positive things, all right? Yes, but they're not happening. So now if you like the butterfly, every place you go that's not butterfly is not comfortable. If you go back to the same place where you saw the butterfly, I was picnicking, and it's not there, you have a bad time. It's a negative experience. You have just made it so you are in a lose-lose situation. If anything reminds you of what bothered you, you lose. Unless the exact same thing happens again that turned you on, you feel bad about it, you lose. All right? You go to a restaurant, you have a nice meal. That's supposed to be a positive thing. Okay? You have a very nice meal. You go out. You cling to the stupid thing and you tell everybody how great the restaurant was. You get all your friends together. Oh my God, you're gonna come with me. It's the greatest restaurant it could ever be. And somehow, I don't know how, when you go into the restaurant, it's not the same chef. It's not the same night. It's not the same music. It's not the same people sitting next to you. It's not the same special, right or wrong, right? In other words, you have in your mind that exact moment, don't you? And now you're apologizing. Oh, it was much better last time. Ever done it? Wake up. Since you stored one fixed moment, what is the probability that's going to be what happens again? How about zero? All right? Ever have anybody tell you somebody really the first time tell you they love you? You just have first kiss, right? It's never going to happen again, right? It's not going to sound the same the second time because you're expecting it. Because you had such a beautiful experience that first time Now when they say it, I guarantee you, it's not going to have the same richness. And it's not because of them. It's because you already had that experience. So it can't have the newness that it had before. I'm telling you, if you go back with a butterfly landed on you, and one lands on you again, the only thing it's going to do for you is say, see, I told you. It will not blow you away. And if you go and you're so stupid that when you turn the corner and that sun was so beautiful, oh my God. And so you spend the next month buying the house on that corner, you just wasted your money. Because there's no way that sunset's going to do that to you again. Maybe once, but not twice. Do you understand that? Because you already had the experience and it was shocking to you. Now you're expecting it. And because you already have that image, you'll say, no, there was more purple last time. Yes or no? Come on, all right? So what you have done is ruined your life, literally. You've made it so that unless something dramatically different happens that pulls you out of this preference system that you built in there, okay? That's why people skydive. That's why people do, okay, that's why people do drugs, okay? You get to the point where nothing touches me enough, right? They talk positively that way, right? I understand why people do drugs. I also understand that they will never, ever take you where truth will take you, right? Which is, what if I wasn't doing that, right? Why do I need to get myself drunk? Why do I have to need, yeah, even social drinking, it takes the edge off. What edge? I don't see any edges. The earth's round. The world's unfolding. It passes right through. I don't understand what you're talking about in any way, shape, or form, right? What you mean is, my consciousness is paying attention to all this garbage that I stored inside. And everything's reminding me of it. So I'm uptight and I'm scared and I'm afraid something's going to happen that I don't want. I'm afraid that something won't happen that I do want, right? If I can get the mind a little bit drunk so it slurs its words in here and where I can't really understand what it's saying, I get more uninhibited and it's a lot more fun. Okay, very good. Okay? And that's where all the drugs are. That's where everything is. Is because you have that garbage stored in there, you're trying to find something that's stunning or shocking enough that frees your consciousness from having to be addicted to the same old, same old, same old, okay? So it's not so much that the job is the same old or the wife is the same old or the husband is the same old, right? It's that you're the same old, okay? That's why if you get divorced and remarried, it will end up in the same place. Sorry to tell you. Because you didn't change. You're divorcing the wrong thing. You need to divorce yourself. You change your job. Right? The kind of person who changes their job every 3 months, right? You're going to change the next one in 3 months too. There's no right job for you, right? It's that you're not right for the job, right? What you've built inside of you is I have all this stuff that I don't like. I don't like if I get criticized. I don't like if somebody gets a raise when I should get it. I don't like if there's a glass ceiling. I don't like, oh my God, I just like all these things. I've experienced all of it. I don't like it, all right? Well, I guarantee if you don't like it, you're going to see it. Do you understand that? You actually look for what you don't like. You go into the party, there's 1,000 people. Okay? You heard a rumor that your ex might be there. You actually look to see if he's there. You ask everybody, did you see him? Is he here? What are you doing? I thought you didn't want to see him. You look for what you don't want to see. You become conditioned by what's going on in your mind. It ruins your life. You now can't experience reality. It's a saying in Buddhist. Maybe you've heard it. It's called Just Tree. All right? It's a good place for that to fit in. The story goes as follows. There was a young Buddhist monk that was in a monastery, and he would go in for a session, for a visit to his, to the Buddhist master, right? And once a day, he'd walk by there and answer some questions and talk to him. And this time he walked in, and the master looked at him and said, what happened to you? Because he saw light. He said, what do you mean? He said, I see a difference in you, my son. What happened? He said, well, I was walking across the courtyard, and you know the big oak tree that's there? I stopped by it, and I looked at it, and I saw just tree. I just saw the tree. And oh my God, it took me to this place that I felt a satori, I felt an enlightenment. It just took me beyond myself. And the master said, that tree's been there for 100 years. You walk by that tree every single time. And the student said, yeah, but when I walk by the tree, I'd see a tree that the pollution is, they won't be here long because the environment is so messed up. Or I saw a tree that reminded me of the one I fell off of when I was little. I saw a tree whose branches were so large, it's probably the biggest oak tree that could possibly, right? And the master just smiled, right? It's like, that tree stimulated you. Do you understand that? You didn't see just tree. Just tree is what I talked about in the beginning. When tree came in rendered, and that's all you saw. What happened is tree came in rendered and stimulated your past experiences with trees, what people told you about trees, which is the biggest. Your mind, it offended you. Your mind became activated. So your consciousness was scattered between this primary image, of which you saw very little, I guarantee you, but these, what I call the secondary explosion took place. The reaction within your mind due to this stored stuff you put in there. So you can't have an experience. But he saw just tree. If you understand that, and now you do, for what we got, the Buddhists will be very proud of you, because just tree in Zen is a very, very deep concept. Now, do you see why? So the problem is not the world. The problem is that you have stored inside of your mind, first layer is the actual experience. Second layer is you stored thought patterns, renderings, I call them renderings, you held them in there, right? Visually, auditory, whatever, you held them in there, and they become a secondary reaction to whatever comes in. It's personal. The first was impersonal. This is totally personal. That's not the end of it. What do you mean? Haven't I made enough of a mess? Oh no, you go way past that. You did much better than that. Why? I told you, mind, empty mind, pure mind. It's very powerful. Its potential is greater than any computer. It's an amazing thing. When I talk to you about how powerful mind is, and you say, no, Einstein was smart, I'm not. That's not true. That's not true. You have the human mind. Every one of you have a human mind. You don't have a possum mind or armadillo mind or a squirrel mind, right? Or an earthward mind, or even an ape's mind, right? You have the human mind. Well, what's so special about the human mind? All I know is, for billions and billions and billions of years, there was this planet here. And on it, evolution grew. There was plants and minerals from the stars. And it just, you know, plants right now, 5 billion years old. It's been sitting there for billions and billions of years. And all kinds of animals were running around. That planet stayed pretty much the same. Nothing different, right? The monkeys lived in trees. They live in trees now. Everything's the same. You understand that? And then you showed up with your human mind. And all of a sudden, you went digging. And you took iron and core and silicon and you built a rocket ship and got in and flew to the moon. What'd you say? Are you kidding? Right? No other animal ever did anything, even your dolphins. Right? They were living exactly the same as they did 1,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, 1 million years ago. Do you understand that? Exactly the same for all practical purposes. You're not. You used to live in caves. Now you're going to the moon. What did that? Did God hide a rocket ship and you found it? Your mind did that. OMG. Your mind split the atom. Your mind figured out there was an atom. Don't get so activist on me. You don't like splitting of atoms. It should be, oh my God. We actually figured out how the universe was made. Oh my God. Who did that? Your mind. Your mind put the Hubble telescope up in the sky that can see back. Do you know that we have, I told you that The Big Bang is not a theory anymore. We have evidence. We have collected evidence of things as far back as 500,000 years after the Big Bang. 13.75 billion years ago, we have evidence, actual empirical evidence of what went on and what is going on, all right? Because it takes light time to get to us. If we build telescopes strong enough, powerful enough, or radio telescopes, whatever, powerful enough, we can pick up things that got here from 13 billion years ago. That's when they happened. For the last 13 billion years, the light, the light has been traveling toward us. When it gets to us, what we're receiving is 13 billion years old. Do you understand that? Therefore, we can see back in time 13 billion years ago. All right? Well, if you want to think about that, that's literally what's happening, okay? So therefore, how did I know that? Because I have a human mind. The dolphins don't know that. Understand that? The armadillos don't know that. The apes don't know that. I don't care how smart they are. They can drive a car. You made the car, right? Human mind is an amazing thing, isn't it? come on, stop for a second. I mean, that's some serious stuff that you guys figured out. You know, you don't get to take credit. You're back here and your mind is brilliant. Okay, what has the average human being? We know what Einstein did with his mind, okay? Einstein spent his mind in outer space. You know that? You're busy with boyfriends and what are you wearing? He didn't care what he wore. You should look at a guy, right? He's out there in outer space, falling down in elevators. He's in an elevator, falling down at the speed of light through space, right? Trying to see what will happen to him inside the elevator. And then a light beam passes through the window of the elevator. Will it bend? And literally, he did what are called thought experiments. All of that Einstein came up with. The math was afterwards. I'm so glad we get to talk about this stuff. He did everything sitting in an armchair. They were thought experiments, then he proved them with the math. He did not do the math and come up with it, right? It was what he imagined, what he thought of, the power of these thought processes. Yes, you may not have Einstein's mind. You don't have Jimmy Durante's nose. You don't know who he was, but, right? You don't know all kinds of things that are a little bit different, but they're only a little bit different. They're way different than the snake or the ape or anything like that. You have a human mind. It is brilliant, and I mean brilliant. All right, what have you done with your mind? So now what we've said so far is the mind by itself, without you doing anything, is doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's giving you a gift. It's rendering this plane you don't live on. It's sending it back to you so your consciousness can experience it. You had a little trouble with that. It's the truth. You had a little trouble accepting that gift, didn't you? So you started resisting what felt a little funny and clinging to what felt a little good. I'm not denying things feel experienced different. I don't want to call them feeling. It's not this kind of feeling, right? They experience differently. There are different experiences. But I told you, that's the richness of everything, right? Variety is the spice of life. Experience is the best teacher, right? It comes in and it's a gift to you, but you're not ready. That's all. The self is not ready to let it in. So it resists some, and it clings to others, and builds these patterns inside. And now things outside remind us of these patterns, so that when something happens, it makes us feel good. It's more than just the experience. It matches all our stuff, okay? And so when it's said and done, the next layer of your mind, now I've given you two layers of your mind. One is primal experience. The second is your stored samskaras, that stored stuff that you stored in there. And the third, I have to take a breath, I don't even want to talk about it, oh my God. The third is what you did with the brilliance of your mind. You said, well, I don't like rattlesnake. I do like butterflies. I don't like exes. I like new people. And you got all this stuff based on your experiences. And so you said, I want to feel good. Well, before it all happened, you felt good about all of it pretty much, right? I want to feel good. Therefore, how does the world in front of me need to unfold so that I feel good? Did you hear me? How does the world in front of me need to unfold so that I feel good? I hope that sets off alarm bells, because the previous session, I described to you where the world in front of you came from, and it ain't got nothing to do with what's going on inside your head, does it? What's going on inside your head is based on your past experiences that you could handle or couldn't handle. That's got nothing to do with the moments unfolding in front of you. It doesn't know your past experiences, does it? It wasn't even here. You grew up in New York. It's just a moment. It's a moment. Its creation has nothing to do with you, right? And now you have just pitted yourself against God. You've pitted yourself against the universe. You have said, there is a way I need it to be okay. There is a way it better not be or I won't be okay. And you've now said, and this is, talk dirty to me, this is the most amazing. You said, not only have I made up a way that everybody and everything needs to be so that when it comes in, it feels good to me, it doesn't feel bad, but that's how it's supposed to be. OMG. Wow. This is a good place to stop this session. I hope you're stimulated because we're describing what you've been doing, all right? So basically, I'm going to end session 3 on that note, and we'll pick back up. I look forward to seeing you again.